We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 tonight. Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Beginning to hear some of the details of the life of Samson. And there's a phrase that you see in chapter 13 at the end of the chapter that kind of lets us know what's going to happen here. Of course, in verse 24 of chapter 13, it says, "The woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times." That's an interesting thought. "In the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." You know, God can use anybody. Someone says, well, you have to be just perfect and really close to God for him to use you. No, you ought to be close to God, but he can use anybody. He can use a lost person. And most of you have heard me tell this story, but I'll tell you the short version of it, and that is that a week, more than that, maybe a month before my stepfather died, my stepfather was unsaved. And I had witnessed to him, and he had not listened to the gospel. And a week or two, maybe a month before he died, he was in a hospital, and a man asked him a question. He went to visit this man in the hospital, and the man asked him, said, "What's going to happen to you when you die?" Now, you and I have asked people that question. You ask people that question to hopefully get a chance to witness to them, don't you? And then they say, well, I don't know. And then you can talk to him about the Lord and what's going to happen when they die. If they know the Lord, praise the Lord, to be absent from the body, if you're saved, is to be present with the Lord. Amen? That's what the Bible says. But then the rich man lift up his eyes in hell, Luke 16. So this fellow asked my stepfather, what's going to happen to you when you die? And he said, they're going to cremate me. They're going to bury the ashes. That'll be the end of me. And he did believe, I think, in that doctrine that's called annihilation. That's the same thing the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe, if you don't know the Lord, that when you die, you cease to exist, and that's the end of it. that's not Bible. So anyway, this fellow asked my stepfather, what's going to happen to you when you die? I'm just going to be burned and that'll be the end of me. And he said, no. He said, what's going to happen to you when you die? That sounds like a pretty effective witness. And my stepfather said, well, yeah, I really don't know. And the fellow said, I don't know either. And the fellow that asked him that question wasn't saved. And he was looking for answers. Now, I don't know what happened over the course of the next week. I do know this. A week later, the fellow that asked that question died. And then a few weeks later, my stepfather died. Wouldn't it be great if we walk into eternity and meet them both in heaven? Amen? Could be. I don't know. I didn't hear of my stepfather getting saved. I kind of like to think that somebody looking for the Lord, maybe some pastor was walking down the hall or some visitor came by and told that fellow about Christ. His last name was the same as my wife's maiden name. It was Mr. George. And maybe he'll be in heaven someday. You and I have been able to hear. Praise the Lord. We don't have to wonder, but these folks did. And I thought to myself, isn't that amazing that a week or two before my stepfather died, a lost person witnessed to him? God can use lost people to be a witness. Well, the point is, you ask yourself, why did God use Samson? And the answer is because God chose to. Okay? And we have a lot of things to say about Samson, good and bad. I love his strength. But let me just show you one simple thing here in chapter 14. It says in verse 9, or verse 8, it says at the end of the verse, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of a lion. That's a dead body is what that is. In verse 9, he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. That is a perfect picture of Samson. He was a Nazarite. He had taken a Nazarite vow. And he was a Nazarite from birth. We remember that God told his mother not to drink any alcohol or certain things before he was born because of he was separated from those things. And one of the things that a Nazarite couldn't do is touch a dead body. And he knew that. If his mother had a special diet before his birth, You know he was taught these things as he was growing up, and he knew he wasn't supposed to do that, but he saw that honey, and he thought to himself, that would be enjoyable, and I am willing. He made the conscious decision. There's no accident here. There's no excuses to be made. He said, I am willing to do what I know I'm not supposed to do in order to gain a temporary pleasure. And by the way, people still do that today, don't they? Christians do that. Not too long ago, I counseled somebody about a particular kind of a sin and explained to them that God would not bless that sin. He will not bless that sin. And then about a month later, there they were at it again. And it's a decision we make to sin, isn't it? So here, when you see Samson, before you just spend all your time thinking about what's wrong with him, he's also a picture of God's grace. Because let me tell you something, you and I aren't perfect either. We may have made some decisions better than he did in some cases, but the bottom line is this. It's amazing God uses anybody. It's amazing that God would send his son to die for the wickedness in the world, but he did. It's amazing that God would save us. We don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the devil's lie is God doesn't care about you. God isn't going to help you. You've sinned too bad. You've made too many mistakes. You're not good enough. And so why are you trying to think about God using you? No, God loves us, and he'll forgive us, and he'll use us. Amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I want to read these nine verses in chapter 14 and just take a quick look at this beginning of Samson's life and how he walked in flesh and spirit. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 14 of the book of Judges, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and he told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he, and that's the Lord, sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and gave them. He gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the many things you've done in our lives, even this day. Thank you that we could come together tonight as a local church and pray for folks that have great needs. Marlon, after having a tremendous surgery today and having her life in jeopardy and her soul in jeopardy, and Lord, we can come together and pray for her. I pray for Brother Leo and for Joe Milsick and for Crystal Hall and for Dan Ball and folks that have great needs. And Lord, you promised us if we would ask, we would receive. And so we come tonight believing that. And Lord, thank you that we came together and have asked these prayers. And we thank you we can now open the Word of God and it can teach us and it can speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us not to ever seek opportunity or excuse to sin, but help us to seek to draw close to you. And help us to see that in Samson's life, although he did great things, he could have done so much more if he had been obedient to you. And Lord, we just pray you'd help us to discern what we need to see in this passage tonight. Thank you for the folks that are here. I pray for Juan that you'd have your will in his life tonight and that you'd bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So there's a word that you see coming up several times in here in this passage. In verse 1, it says he saw a woman in verse 1. It's verse 3, he says at the end of the verse, she pleaseth me well. And that was a matter of her appearance, of course. And then it says in verse 8, he turned aside to see the carcass of a lion. And you can see some things here. Samson has a proclivity, a tendency to allow his eyes to guide his heart. I think of that passage in Peter when Peter's talking about Lot, and he says that righteous man, that just man, he says, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. The things that we see and the things that we hear have a great impact upon us, and we have to make a decision not to see some things, and we have to make a decision when we see some things to turn away from them. It's just that simple. And it's hard sometimes. It's tempting. And Samson is a fellow that when he sees things, he lets that get the best of him perhaps. And I don't want to pretend to understand Samson completely. I just want you and I to agree that we're not going to use Samson as an excuse to allow sin into our life just because God used this fellow. Because God, like I said, God can use anybody. God's will is going to be accomplished. He is going to do what he pleases. And wouldn't it be so much better to be used by the Lord because you were right with him than to be used by the Lord in spite of yourself? And that's really what happens many times in Samson's life. But Samson, he's one of the judges that we remember the most about. And he did have great victories in his life. And the one that story that we're going to see here pretty quick that was one of my favorites when he got the foxes and he tied their tails together and put the fire. And you can just picture that, these two foxes trying to get away from the fire, running through the fields of the Philistines, and all their fields are burned down by these foxes. And that was the kind of fellow Samson was. He knew who the enemy was, and he was willing to fight the enemy. He was willing to stand up to the enemy. He was not afraid of the enemy because he had strength from God. Folks, there's a time to stand up, amen? And God gives us the strength that we need. He'll protect us and he'll get us through that. But Samson's a carnal Christian. God has set standards for him to live by, and he neglected or in some cases disregarded those standards. And in some cases, because of that, he suffered greatly, and we see that's the way his life ended. When we ignore God's laws, there is going to be a consequence of some sort, even for saved folks. Leviticus 21:14 specifically forbids taking a wife from the Philistines, but Samson took a wife of the Philistines. Numbers chapter 6, regarding the Nazarite vow, prohibits touching a dead body, but Samson took the food from the dead carcass. And it's just that thought there in verse 25 in chapter 13. At times, he was led by the Spirit. At other times, what was he led by? His eyes, his desires, what pleased him. And so that's the story of his life, and there's a lot to be learned from that. Let me show you two or three things about the leading in Samson's life. We won't take too long here. But he certainly was a man that could be led by the Spirit of the Lord. It says in verse 25 of chapter 13, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. How does the Spirit of the Lord move us? The Word of God, amen? In other words, when we hear God's Word, God speaks to us through His Word. Now, that's one of the reasons you need to hide God's Word in your heart. When you read your Bible and you spend time, we were talking about Sunday morning, the practicing the presence of the Lord, folks, just about the closest presence you're going to have is when you're reading the Word of God. It's going to be right there. And you can hear from God and you can see what God has to say. And then you can be like the cows out there in the field and they eat the grass in the morning, but then they chew on it all day long. and you take that grass in, and you take the Word of God in, and you just kind of chew on it, and you let it speak to your heart. And that's why we need to have time in the Bible every morning, and not just a little time, but a good portion of time, and practicing the presence of the Lord in that way. And then when we see what God has to say, we live our life according to that. Led by the Spirit of God. Samson was led by the Spirit of God in other ways. And folks, there are times when God just does things in our life. You say, well, why did I have to go to this or to that? I was talking to Leo today in the hospital. And Leo really does want to go home, and I can't fault him for that. But I had to remind him, because I've had to be reminded, he's there because God put him there. Amen? You are where you are. You are in your situation. You are in your place day by day because God put you there. Why am I here? Someone says, because God put you here. I may not know the details of why he put you there, but I know he did. And in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so even though it wasn't God's will for Samson to marry a Philistine, and even though it wasn't God's will for Samson to ignore his Nazirite vow and to do these things that were against the Word of God, God still used him to fight for God's people. And praise the Lord for that. And I think you would agree with me that when we step into eternity, we would like to be able to look back at our life and say, God used me. Amen? Now, I'd a lot rather say, God used me because I was a willing vessel. But I will say this, Lord, use me however you can. And even that lost fellow that witnessed to my stepfather, who at that time was also lost as well, God used him. And God can use people that are not in the center of his will. That's not an excuse for not being in God's will, but it certainly is something to consider. So the Spirit of the Lord led him at times. Look at verse 4 in chapter 14. It says, his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. Now, there is that possibility, and you got to be careful. That word he, that he sought an occasion, that very well could have been Samson doing that. I won't disagree with that. I know the Lord had an occasion already because the Philistines were the enemies of God's people. But the thought here is this. Perhaps Samson went through this entire exercise partially because he wanted to be able to fight against the Philistines and having a reason to do so. And the Philistines certainly experience, as we go on through the story, his wrath as a result of what happens in this situation. But folks, that still doesn't give us an excuse to do things other than the way God wants them done. What I'm trying to say is, when God tells us that we're supposed to obey the Word of God, that's it. We obey the Word of God. Say, Pastor, if I were to violate the Word of God, that might give me an opportunity to serve God. That's not the way God works. He can use you in spite of that, but it's not God's will for you and I to second guess what he said. And for example, folks, we ought to be honest. Someone says, well, if I was to lie to somebody, I might somehow get them to come to church. That's not the way you get people to come to church, you know? If I was to skip church, I've heard people say this, Pastor, I'm not going to be in church because I'm going to be with a friend of mine, and I'm hoping he'll get saved. I am hoping he gets saved too, but you need to be in church. Amen? We don't walk away from one of God's commands in order to accomplish God's will. So perhaps it is Samson saying, hey, you know what? This might be a chance for me to fight the Philistines. That still doesn't give an excuse to disobey the Word of God. Amen? We follow the Word of God. I think I beat that horse to death. He was led by the Spirit at times. He was used by the Spirit in spite of himself. And then what do we know about Samson? This fella was strong. Look at verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the Spirit of the Lord is where Samson got his strength. He's fighting a lion. That would be some interesting research, which I did not do, but I wonder how much force it would take to tear a lion apart and how many foot-pounds or whatever. And you can do all the calculations you want. It doesn't matter. God's got power. if you read some of the statistics about things in space and some of these, the black hole, for example, and the forces that are present in those in the black hole, or the heat that we have at the core of our sun, or some of the great events that happen on our Earth, like lightning, for example, and how much heat there is and how much power is involved. And you think about, that's just child's play to God. Lightning is nothing to God. A black hole or the sun. God simply spoke and our sun came into existence. Folks, don't ever think God doesn't have the power. God has the power. Amen? Now, he will not violate his word, but he certainly has the power to do whatever needs to be done. And we shouldn't think we're on the weak side. We're not. We are by choice meek, and we are by choice peaceful, and we are by choice people that do not use force. Jesus himself said when he was in the garden, when Peter chopped off Malchus, the servant of the high priest's ear, he said, "Put away your sword. We don't fight with that kind of a sword because our kingdom is not of this earth, it's of the next world." And I've mentioned this to you before, that the reason that the Muslims are so violent people is because their kingdom is here and they're fighting for it. And read the history of Muhammad and you'll find out how that all got started. But the end of the story is this. Our God fights for us. And we have the strength, but that does not mean that we go out and exercise it in a physical way. Samson's a picture of the strength of God. The Spirit came mightily upon him. He rent that lion as if he would have rent a kid, and a kid is just a little small lamb. And he had nothing in his hand. There was nothing to help him there. And then, of course, he told not his father and his mother what he had done, because that would have cost him something. And here we go with this dichotomy. On the one hand, he's got strength from God. God's going to use him. On the other hand, he chooses to violate his vows and do things that shouldn't be done. And in this particular case, he takes the honey from the dead carcass. And you know, if you like honey, that's great. If you're a Nazarite and it's in a dead carcass, you walk away. We have to make that choice. Samson is a man that, and you see the story develop. And I'm looking forward to going through this in the next few weeks as we look at his life. He's a man that saw great victories for God. But what does everybody remember about him? When you read in secular materials, for example, people remember Samson and Delilah. They remember the hair and the hair getting cut off and him losing his strength. And that's what we remember about him, is he finally went too far. And folks, it's a fact, when we disobey God, there's a price. Amen? But it's going to be interesting to see what God can do with him, even though he's not perfect. And I would remind all of us, we have a strong God. We do not need to disobey him just because he's a strong God. We have a strong God. Let's obey him. And he's still a strong God. Amen? And he'll still do great things. Let's all stand and pray, if you would, please.